Welcome to episode 131 of the Fertility Podcast. My name is Natalie Silverman, your host, and if this is your first listen, this podcast is a place where you will hear expert interviews as well as real stories from people on their trying to conceive journey. Now, this episode is a bit different in that it's a kind of reaction to something that happened in the UK media mid-April 2018. So apologies if you're not listening in the UK, but I'm putting it out for National Infertility Awareness Week in America, and part of the mission for the week with the hashtag Flip the Script is to highlight how infertility is spoken about in the media. And this just seemed like such a perfect example of when it wasn't really done well. So what you're going to hear is a few people that were involved, as well as somebody that commented on it. I've got kind of male and female perspectives, ultimately, because I just wanted to highlight the kind of impact of when, unfortunately, the topic of infertility is spoken about in mainstream press without being properly thought through. What this has really highlighted, though, is the amazing way that we can all communicate to each other on social media. And in this amazing age of things like podcasts, I'm able to put something out that hopefully gives a bit of a different perspective on it. There's been loads of blog posts, which I've put links to in the show notes. And personally, as I continue to do the work that I do in this space, it just seems that the more of us that continue to tell our stories and say how we feel, then hopefully it will all penetrate through to the mainstream media, even if, you know, what we're doing is just reaching a small part of the audience affected. In the UK, we say it's 1 in 6. In America, 1 in 8 people affected by infertility. There are so many of us on this journey, and all we can do is keep trying to empower ourselves with the information that will help us on our journey. If you've been enjoying this podcast, do make sure you subscribe and rate and review it in Apple Podcasts. That makes a massive difference. Also, you will have heard me talking about the Ultimate Fertility Guide, which is a new directory I've launched, bringing all areas of the fertility industry into one place for you to be able to find them. And I'm interviewing all the different people that have listed themselves in live streamed interviews where you can ask them questions. So all you need to do is get yourself to the Ultimate Fertility Guide Facebook page. We're starting the streams on the 1st of May with the Baby Quest Foundation. So if you're based in America and you're looking to get some assistance with funding for your fertility treatment, then I'll be speaking with Pamela Hirsch about their grants program, how you can apply, what you need to know about it. So just go to the Ultimate Fertility Guide page on Facebook. Make sure you like it. That's where the streams are going to happen. And if you want to submit any questions, if you're not able to join us for the stream, but you've got some questions about how the whole program works, then make sure you check out the show notes for this episode. I'll put all the details of how you can get in touch, especially if you're on the move right now. I don't want to bombard you completely with information. Check out the show notes, and I hope you enjoy this episode. So I'm going to welcome Kat, who is part of this furore that's just happened in the UK media as a response to something that she decided to do, to speak out about her own fertility journey. And who'd have thought that what's happened has happened? So Kat, hello. Welcome again to the podcast.
Hi there, Nat. Thanks for having me again.
Well, we've spoken before. We're friends. I saw that you put yourself on Instagram saying you were going to do this chat on Lorraine, which is a UK morning TV show. And you were like, oh, I'm a bit nervous about it. And then obviously you shared the outcome. So just explain what happened for people that won't have seen the show.
So I was contacted to see if I would ask a question, actually. They were doing a segment on fertility, and they wanted people who were going through a fertility journey to ask a question of the doctor. Me being me, I couldn't let an opportunity go past without getting involved. And I turned to the Instagram community that I'm part of and asked anyone else to get involved. And two amazing women, Healy and Kate, answered that plea, and lots of other people emailed as well. And so we went on the show yesterday morning, it is now. And my question was, having gone through 3 rounds of fresh IVF, 2 frozen, having had 2 miscarriages, I've gone through the last few months deciding whether or not we are going to try one more time.
Right.
And so I asked the doctor what I could do differently to get a positive outcome?
Because at the point that you're at, you're pretty well informed. You've pretty much done probably everything you could do as far as your lifestyle, diet, nutrition, probably complementary therapies. I'm sure you've literally been doing your utmost to put yourself in the best place possible to make your treatment work.
Absolutely. We've been trying for almost 6 years now, naturally and with assisted help. And we have had reflexology, acupuncture, we've eaten organic, we've had counselling, we've had an awful lot of tests. Like, we've spent tens of thousands of pounds on this, 6 years of our life. We have explored pretty much every avenue. I know new things are coming up all the time, but we, you know, if it's out there and we can access it, we have tried it, definitely.
Were you asked any of that before you were kind of given an answer?
No, I had sent my information in previously, so right. They were aware of my history. What I would say is I wasn't expecting Dr. Hillary to give me an answer. He's not a fertility specialist. He doesn't know my history in depth. So I wasn't necessarily expecting him to give me an answer. But the issue is the answer that he did give was so generic and misinformed. I say misinformed, obviously it is, you know, we should all try to relax, but being relaxed does not a baby make, you know? So it was just so, the information that he gave, it wasn't really worth saying, perhaps. That's the issue.
Just to backtrack, the answer to Kat's question when she asked was pretty much relax. And as Kat had shared that she was doing this on Instagram predominantly, she then shared the outcome and lots of the TTC community were watching it, and people were so surprised that that was the first thing. And like you say, give the guy, you know, a break in a sense, in that he's not a fertility doctor, but that kind of information, as you've seen from the outcry, literally fallen on deaf ears, hasn't it?
It has completely. Like, the trying to conceive community were just straight on it, which was incredible. As soon as, like, I looked at my phone, it had just blown up. It was insane. The issue that it highlights is the clear lack of understanding, really. A couple of people said how that's the advice they get from their nan, you know, whereas this is a medical professional on national TV giving this advice, you know. And it's just, it just perpetuates the myths around it and the useless, unfortunately, advice that people do give. What it also does, which I think is more damaging, is it puts the blame back on the individuals who are trying to conceive, because they're then left in a situation where they're made to feel like if they relaxed, it would work. And when you are in the middle of scans, injections, just even if you're trying naturally and it's taking a long, long time, you know, it's hard to keep, you know, having sex at the right time, to eat well all the time, to, you know, you feel guilty so much of the time. Yeah. And relaxing, you know, we all try the mindfulness, we do the reflexology, we do, you know, yoga, we do try to relax as much as possible, but that isn't the answer. And putting the blame back on the individuals, I think, to me, that's one of the most dangerous outcomes of this.
So we want to just talk about some of the comments that you have had. And I was looking at some of them as well. And it's really good to see that there's both men and women sharing their feelings on what's been said. What kind of things have you seen people say?
Oh, there's so much. So about the advice, you know, from someone who's completely ill-informed, like, you know, a kind of a relative who just doesn't know anything about it. People have been saying, and I agree, that it trivialises fertility issues, because, you know, what about people with endometriosis? What about people who don't have any sperm? What about people who have no fallopian tubes? You know, it is a much, much wider issue than simply relaxing. And I think what needs to happen now, really, is rather than having a 5-minute talk about it with someone who isn't a fertility specialist, really, we need to start talking about it in much more depth and help people who don't know. You know, you don't know about it unless you've been through it. But we're here, we are ready to speak. And the Trying to Conceive community stood up yesterday. It was amazing. I can't believe it. I really can't. I'm so impressed by every single person who commented, liked, shared, posted. It was just like nothing I'd ever seen before. You know, we are here and we want to be heard. We want to help people who don't know. We want to help them to understand, because it will make our lives easier as well as making their lives easier if there is that empathy, if there is that understanding. This is a disease. It's not something that we choose. It's not something that IVF isn't a luxury. You know, I've spent tens of thousands of pounds on this, money that we haven't really got. If I had just got pregnant 5 years ago, my life would be entirely different. I'm not doing this for fun. This is bloody hard work, you know, and that's a massive understatement.
I mean, we're talking about national TV, which morning TV, which in essence is entertainment. And so we know that there's that more lighthearted approach, but we also know that there are lots of serious issues and heartfelt emotional issues that are discussed. So in an ideal, like you said, a more in-depth discussion would happen. Do you think that there is enough emphasis put on the real person's story? Because there is tabloid and glossy magazine coverage of celebrities using IVF, and that's how it gets its coverage to a point. Do you think that we need to just have kind of warts and all stories more? Do you think that the mainstream population are ready to kind of absorb all that?
I think they are. I think absolutely. You're right. It is a TV show, you know, a morning TV show. It was a 5-10 minute slot. It was probably off the back of Chris Evans announcing that he was pregnant with IVF, which is amazing news. But so often what is reported is, wow, here's my IVF pregnancy or here's my IVF baby. What isn't reported is the fact that 70% of the time IVF doesn't work. What isn't reported is the breakdowns that people go through, the fact that they have, you know, spent all of their money on it, the difficulties, the emotional turmoil, everything that goes with it. If we look, unfortunately, at Ant McPartlin at the moment, you know, I'm an outsider looking in. I don't know what's going on in his life. But what has been reported is that him and his wife were going through IVF, were having difficulties conceiving. My assumption, and it is an assumption, is that what he's dealing with now is in part off the back of everything that they've been through. That is the reality, the very sad, heartbreaking reality of it. I don't want to put anyone in that situation in order to tell the story, but the people who are living that situation should be given a voice, definitely. And I think that people who aren't in that situation are ready to hear it, are willing to hear it, want to hear it, because they are people, you know, my friends and my family who don't understand, who don't know, although they do because I do talk about it, but there's so many people that don't talk about it, you know, they want understanding.
You can hear the passion in your voice, Kat. And I know it's been a pretty crazy 24 hours just managing all the responses that have come in. And we just mentioned a couple of UK-based personalities there, which I'll put details in the show notes of different stories, because I know the podcast is obviously going out all over the place. So if especially if you're listening in the US, and this week being National Infertility Awareness Week, the message that we want to just give is, if you're given the chance to speak, whether it's on social media or an event that you're doing, be proud about the fact that you can honestly share where you are. I mean, Kat, I know you've done amazing work, both professionally with what you're doing and just personally on social media, to stand up and be heard. What would you say to anybody, especially with it being a focus week in the States this week, who maybe hasn't spoken out about where they're at before? Because, you know, you're doing it, and I know it's still a really, really personal thing that you're putting out there. What would you say to anybody who's thinking, enough's enough, I'm just going to start being more honest and open about where I'm at and what's going on with me?
I applaud anyone who is willing to talk about it. I know there are people who won't want to talk about it, and that's okay as well, you know. But if you are thinking, right, this is my time, I am going to start talking about this, I want to raise the awareness, post about it, you know. In fact, initially, just open up to your family, open up to your friends. Social media is the next step. But if you feel comfortable doing that, make sure you direct people to organisations that can help. I know that the Resolve in the US, there's Fertility Support AU in Australia, there's Fertility Network in the UK. There are organisations out there that can support you when you want to talk to your family and friends, and help them with what Fertility Network UK call it is fertility etiquette. How, what to say, what not to say. But if you are willing to take that step and talk about it, do it. You know, come and find me on Instagram. I'm happy to share your message. Share something that someone else has put out there. Sometimes it's harder to put your own story out there, but by sharing someone else's story, that's a way to get that message across and help people understand without actually feeling like you've put too much of yourself out there.
Because you're not on your own, and it's not your fault, ultimately. And there are people here to help. Kat, thank you. I know it's a really hectic time for you, so I appreciate you having a chat with me.
Oh, you're really, really welcome. Thank you so much, Nat.
The Fertility Podcast is sponsored by OvuSense. If you've been trying to monitor your cycle and finding it just overwhelming, you need to use OvuSense. It's the only ovulation monitor that offers 99% clinically proven accuracy for ovulation confirmation. So when you want to take control and you want to know exactly what is going on with your fertility, OvuSense is the best choice. To find out more, just visit OvuSense.com. And if you use the code FERTILITYPOD, all in capital letters, you'll get a 25% discount. The Fertility Podcast is also supported by IVF Matters, the UK's first online fertility clinic, where you can order tests delivered to your door, have scans at multiple locations, and speak to consultants in the comfort of your own home. It's a truly unique way to experience your fertility journey, and you can find out more at ivfmatters.co.uk or call 0333 939951. I'm now going to welcome Keely to the podcast. Keely and I have met on Instagram. I'll put her social media in the show notes, but she's underscore trying to be a mum underscore. We were going to share Keely's story anyway, and then she became a part of Relaxgate, which is what this episode is all about. So I'm going to welcome Keely to the podcast. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Hi.
And when we first kind of touched base after Relaxgate, you were saying that you felt you were responsible for the hashtag.
Yeah, I think I was. Well, I'd come back, everything had happened that morning, and then I'd come back after my phone had died and I'd gone to yoga, and I came back and I was commenting on it, and I just mentioned it in my post, and I just said, oh, just catching up after Relaxgate. And then suddenly everyone was using Relaxgate, which made me laugh, but also I was like, oh, that's never happened to me before.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to talk more about Relaxgate once we've gathered your story, because you've been on quite a journey for quite a long time. Tell me what's been going on.
Yeah, it has been quite a long journey. So we have been trying to conceive now for 4 years. We did that usual thing of being blissfully unaware of what was to follow, of let's just enjoy being married for a year and or 6 months or a year, and then we'll start thinking about having a family. And so kind of 6 months went past, and then I said, actually, do you know what, let's just start trying, and not kind of peeing on a stick sort of trying, just trying. So we did, and because I didn't get married till I was 35, so by the time we started trying I was kind of closer to 37, and I was very aware of my age. We started having investigations into, so it didn't happen, and we started having investigations into why around the end of 2014, and all of those tests, and I've had every test under the sun pretty much, just came back with unexplained infertility, right. Which is always one of those ones where you're a bit like, really? Just tell me something specific is wrong. Yeah. And then it feels like you can focus and target that specific thing, which I'm not saying that any one who has polycystic ovaries or endometriosis has it any easier in any stretch of the imagination, but you know what your issue is and you look to, whereas unexplained, it's, you're kind of shooting in the dark, excuse the pun, but you are, like, it's quite hard to get your head around. But that's where we were. So we're advised that really at this option it was IVF rather than any other assisted form of reproduction. So we did our first IVF in October 15, which was a negative. We did our second in March 16, did our third one in October 16. And then in April 2017, I actually felt pregnant naturally, which was a complete and utter shock. And then unfortunately we had a miscarriage. And then since then we've had two more rounds of IVF, so which were not successful either. So we are now on to round six, due to start in the beginning of June. It's been a lot.
And along the journey with the different investigations, am I right to assume that your husband has been checked in different ways, not just count, but like DNA, that type of thing?
Absolutely. So yeah. Actually, we've just done a latest DNA fragmentation test. But yeah, he's had every test under the sun as well. So, and nothing's ever come back as abnormal in any way. So yeah, I've had hysteroscopies, Hycoses, all the usual blood tests, natural killer cells, immune tests, scratch, what else is there?
And have you stayed at the same clinic each time?
No, actually, we did two, our first two rounds were at a local-ish clinic to us, but that were affiliated with Care in Baker Street. So we did two rounds with them, but our second round was a bit of a disaster in that when we went to transfer, the transfer just went horrifically wrong, which was quite traumatic. In that when they went to do the transfer, the consultant was having a bit of trouble with the catheter and then said, okay, I'm going to change the catheter. I was like, okay, fine. And then when they went to change it, the embryo wasn't in the catheter. And I was sort of sitting legs akimbo in the other room for about 20 minutes going, what's going on?
Oh my God. Did they admit it there and then?
Sort of, which was kind of the traumatizing thing. My consultant came back in and was just like, this hardly ever happens.
Oh my God.
The embryo isn't in the catheter, so there's only one place it can be, and that's inside you, but not in the optimum place that I would have put it had I kind of done put it in properly. So we were just in a bit stunned silence, pretty much. It was didn't know what to think, and sort of walked out in a bit of a daze. And then the aftercare were actually, I have to say, brilliant, given that it was not really their responsibility because essentially my consultant was using their facility to do the procedure.
Right.
They were the first ones to contact me to make sure that I was okay. Was there anything they could do for me? Blah, blah, blah. My consultant didn't bother contacting me for about 48 hours, which I just found completely abhorrent. I was just like...
It's probably drowning his sorrows in disbelief.
It was just crazy. And my mum was there as well, and my husband, and we were just like, what has just happened? Mm. Like, you know, and she's like, oh, in 1% of cases. Like, I mean, I'm unlucky, but that is unlucky. Like, yeah, I'm not that 1%, you know.
Yeah.
Then it got kind of quite heated and emotional between the two, and I just lost complete trust in her. And I was like, I cannot do this again here. This is not good. So actually, very, very sweetly, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. A nurse who was working at the clinic I was at used to work at another clinic, and she said, have you been looking around? And we said, yes, we're looking at these two clinics. And she said, I used to work there. Let me see what the waiting list's like. So she introduced us. And so we've done our last three rounds at ARGC in Wimpole Street, which is, I think they've been brilliant. Like, they're pretty amazing, but it's not a clinic that's for everybody, and I'm sure a lot of people would say that, just because it's quite intense. But yeah, so we're there now, but I'm glad we changed, and the confidence is definitely back in terms of being with the right people, which is good.
I think it's really important to get across that ability for you to change if you're not happy with any part of your treatment, if you're in a position to be able to change, especially if you're self-funding. I don't know how easy it is if you're doing it, you know, with the bit of funding that some people get, is to be brave enough to do that. And I'm really pleased that you did. I'm interested as to what you mean by intense.
Whereas in the previous clinic, I used to go in like every couple of days for a blood test. I probably had two scans, three scans maybe, the whole time before collection. And at ARGC, you are in every day, every morning at about 7:30 for a blood test. And then in your first week, you're in every day for a blood test at 7:30. Then once you get towards the end of your first week and going into your second week of stimulation, you then have scans pretty much every day, if not every other day. Sometimes you have two blood tests in a day, and then sometimes two scans in a day.
Wow.
So it's full on. Like, it's a full-time job, hence why I quit mine. So it is full on. I mean, the next 2 weeks is the normal two-week wait. You know, you have collection, you have transfer in it. There's no bean bags and candles and fluffiness. It's a bit like a deli counter, and it's busy. It's a busy clinic. So sometimes there's queuing. And yeah, it's not fluffy.
Right.
It's the way that I would describe it. They get results, so I'll go
with
it.
That's what you're on a mission to get. And let's talk about your decision to give up work, because you were working in TV, so I imagine a pretty high-pressured, long hours, stressful job?
Yeah, and probably at the time, I mean, I knew it was stressful, but I think anyone who works in quite a fast-paced environment, whether that's TV or finance or whatever it is, you just ride it, you know, it's just adrenaline. But I didn't realize that I'd been living on adrenaline for probably the last 17-18 years.
Right.
And yeah, it was long hours, and we'd kind of, you know, as we'd kind of gone through round by round, we, you know, what else can we do this round, right, more diet stuff, more lifestyle stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it just came to me, it's just like, what else is there? You know, what do we then, you know, how much is spoken about stress and just relax.
We'll talk about that.
Don't relax yet. No, exactly. So we just thought, do you know what? It's my job. So I'm very, very lucky. And I have an amazing husband who just said, I just think you should give up work for a bit and let's just see what that does, or let's see what happens. And it's been 15 months now. Obviously I thought I'd give up work and we'd get pregnant in 3 months and I'd have a baby by the end of the year and maternity leave and then I'd go back to work in like 2 years, but it's not quite how it's panning out. But it's honestly one of the best things I've ever done.
Good.
It's remarkably eye-opening and just so much perspective in terms of how, you know, I don't even know really how I lived my life before, like, or at that pace, you know, and working and seeing friends and going out and trying to just fit everything in and do treatment was just way, way too much. So yeah, it's been lovely and I've managed to kind of focus on other things, which has been a real blessing really.
I have to say, I was a bit jealous on your Instagram where you said you'd done a headstand in your yoga.
Oh, I've become a yogi. It's ridiculous. Like, I never, ever thought... I've always been really sporty, but, like, you know, real sport. I used to play hockey and, like, not till that recently, you know, and weights and da-da-da, and, like, real cardio-based stuff. And I kind of dismissed yoga for years. Loads of my friends do it. They all extol the benefits of it and think it's amazing. And I was like... And there's literally a yoga studio 2 minutes from my house and it's lovely. And I've been going there for years, but I just thought, you know what? I'm going to get properly into it and just really immerse myself in it. And now I absolutely love it. It's just great. It's so great.
What a blissful thing, though, regardless of what happens. And I hope that you get what you want, you know, with your treatment. But what a beautiful kind of way to spend your time without being too airy-fairy. Because I think it's a really... I mean, I try to practice as often as I can and I do feel quite kind of privileged that I am able to practice, that I make the time to do it, because it, for anybody that does it, you'll get it. And if you don't, you might be like, yeah, whatever. But I think giving yourself that time to do something like yoga is very good for your peace of mind.
Definitely, definitely. And I think before, I probably didn't like it. I think I've made this connection. I think I probably didn't like it before because I don't think I had... It sounds a bit airy-fairy and a bit... But I don't think I had this headspace for it. I know that seems kind of...
You didn't have the time to slow down.
Yeah. Like, it's completely adverse to what yoga is. But, you know, I couldn't just sit there and close my eyes and concentrate on my breath because I was like, right, I've got to shoot tomorrow. I've got 10 things that I've got to do and I've got to call that person. And I've, you know, like, I couldn't switch off, basically. Whereas now, I don't have to worry about that stuff. And it's just... amazing.
So it sounds like headspace wise you're in a pretty good place, and I know that the only kind of negative in all of this is, as you admitted to me when we started talking, that might mean a bit too much time is spent on social media, and that's kind of how we've connected. So I want to kind of move on to what's been going on, and this podcast is going out during National Infertility Awareness Week in the US, and Keely, along with Kat, who you heard at the start of the episode, and another lady, Kate, who I'm going to put Kate's chat because we've spoken actually on this podcast, the three of them put themselves forward, and unbeknown, I suppose, to the producers, the three of them had discussed that they were going to talk because they wanted to put their questions there that would be useful. And I think what this exercise has proved is how national TV, wherever it's done, when talking about infertility, really needs to do its homework. So let's just talk a bit about your experience.
So my question, which I spoke to the producer about, I had a few, and then I think the one that she picked up on was about nutrition, because that's a lot of stuff that I've been banging on about recently. So I basically said, I'm on my sixth round. I know that nutrition's really important, but what's your view? And obviously you want to maximise your chances every time. But how important do you think, like, Dr. Hillary, what do you think? And I knew he wasn't going to tell me anything that I didn't already know. And his response to my question was, I mean, pretty prosaic, to be honest. It was just common sense. don't drink, don't have caffeine. He was quite sensible in his approach to me. And I think what I wanted to get out of his response to me was, actually, if people are just about to start this journey, exactly what he said is right. Check out your immunes, see if your thyroid's functioning properly. Talk to someone about supplements, but obviously talk to your consultant or a GP about that. Don't just go off and do it on your own and blah, blah, blah. You know, so with regards to me, even though inside I was rolling my eyes because I was like, I know all of this, actually, what he said was valid. He probably chose three, or they chose three people who are quite knowledgeable about that this
and
stuff.
And are pretty loud on social media.
And pretty loud on social media, and are prepared to have those conversations for other people.
Yeah.
Because other people don't feel comfortable. I think if it had been three completely random people that weren't part of the Insta community, it could have been a very different reaction. I mean, sure there would have been reaction, because we would have all have heard that someone was talking about IVF on Lorraine, and I'm sure the response actually would have been the same, but not quite as kind of vitriolic as it being,
yeah,
because it was Kat as well. It was quite amusing in some ways, because of, you know, if you know Kat on Instagram, then you know how much she talks about stuff. And if he'd known that, I think the real frustration really probably came from just do your homework.
Yeah.
The thing that was really nice was that everyone's response was really consistent. Everyone's response was, oh, just, you know, be prepared. If you're going to chat about this, get an expert. If you're going to... Everything they said was just quite contradictory.
Mm.
You know, it was at the top of it, they were like, oh, this is a really emotive subject. And they set it up quite well in terms of, you know, there's a meeting this afternoon about government, about NHS funding and blah, blah, blah. And talked about how emotive it was. And then he was just really insensitive, you know, and then hasn't really, he apologised on Twitter, sort of.
I saw that.
But he didn't, did he? He just kind of, he said, oh, I'm sorry if I offended everyone.
Yeah. I'm now going to welcome Keely to the podcast. Keely and I have met on Instagram. I'll put her social media in the show notes, but she's _trying_to_be_a_mum_. And we were going to share Keely's story anyway, and then she became a part of Relaxgate, which is what this episode is all about. So I'm going to welcome Keely to the podcast. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Hi.
And when we first kind of touched base after Relaxgate, you were saying that you felt you were responsible for the hashtag.
Yeah, I think I was. Well, I'd come back. Everything had happened that morning, and then I'd come back after my phone had died and I'd gone to yoga, and I came back and I was commenting on it. And I just mentioned it in my post, and I just said, oh, just catching up after Relaxgate. And then suddenly everyone was using Relaxgate, which made me laugh, but also I was like, oh, that's never happened to me before.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to talk more about Relaxgate once we've gathered your story, because you've been on quite a journey for quite a long time. Tell me what's been going on, if you can.
Yeah, it has been quite a long journey. So we have been trying to conceive now for 4 years. We did that usual thing of being blissfully unaware of what was to follow, of let's just enjoy being married for a year and or 6 months or a year, and then we'll start thinking about having a family. And so kind of 6 months went past, and then I said, actually, do you know what, let's just start trying, and not kind of peeing on a stick sort of trying, just trying. So we did, and because I didn't get married till I was 35, so by the time we started trying I was kind of closer to 37, and I was very aware of my age. We started having investigations into, so it didn't happen, and we started having investigations into why around the end of 2014, and all of those tests, and I've had every test under the sun pretty much, just came back with unexplained infertility. Which is always one of those ones where you're a bit like, really? Just tell me something specific is wrong.
Yeah.
And then it feels like you can focus and target that specific thing, which I'm not saying that anyone who has polycystic ovaries or endometriosis has it any easier in any stretch of the imagination, but you know what your issue is and you look to, whereas unexplained, it's, you're kind of shooting in the dark, excuse the pun, but you are, like, it's quite hard to get your head around. But that's where we were. So we were advised that really at this option it was IVF rather than any other assisted form of reproduction. So we did our first IVF in October 15, which was a negative We did our second in March 16, did our third one in October 16. And then in April 2017, I actually fell pregnant naturally, which was a complete and utter shock. And then unfortunately we had a miscarriage. And then since then we've had two more rounds of IVF, so which were not successful either. So we are now on to round six, due to start in the beginning of June. It's been a lot.
And along the journey with the different investigations, am I right to assume that your husband has been checked in different ways, not just count, but like DNA, that type of thing?
Absolutely. So yeah. Actually, we've just done a latest DNA fragmentation test. But yeah, he's had every test under the sun as well. So, and nothing's ever come back as abnormal in any way. So yeah, I've had hysteroscopies, Hycoses, all the usual blood tests, natural killer cells, immune tests, scratch, what else is there?
And have you stayed at the same clinic each time?
No, actually, we did two, our first two rounds were at a local-ish clinic to us, but that were affiliated with Care in Baker Street. So we did two rounds with them, but our second round was a bit of a disaster in that when we went to transfer, the transfer just went horrifically wrong, which was quite traumatic. In that when they went to do the transfer, the consultant was having a bit of trouble with the catheter and then said, okay, I'm going to change the catheter. I was like, okay, fine. And then when they went to change it, the embryo wasn't in the catheter. And I was sort of sitting legs akimbo in the other room for about 20 minutes going, what's going on?
Oh my God. Did they admit it there and then?
Sort of, which was kind of the trauma. So my consultant came back in and was just like, this hardly ever happens.
Oh my God.
The embryo isn't in the catheter. So there's only one place it can be, and that's inside you, but not in the optimum place that I would have put it had I kind of done put it in properly. So we were just in a bit stunned silence, pretty much. It was didn't know what to think, and sort of walked out in a bit of a daze. And then the aftercare were actually, I have to say, brilliant, given that it was not really their responsibility because essentially my consultant was using their facility to do the procedure.
Right.
They were the first ones to contact me to make sure that I was okay. Was there anything they could do for me? Blah, blah, blah. My consultant didn't bother contacting me for about 48 hours, which I just found completely abhorrent. I was just like... so we had a
drowning
of weeks.
Your sorrows in disbelief.
It was just crazy. And my mum was there as well, and my husband. And we were just like, what has just happened? Mm. Like, you know, and just like, oh, in 1% of cases, I was like, I mean, I'm unlucky, but that is unlucky. Like, yeah, I'm not that 1%, you know. Yeah. Then it got kind of quite heated and emotional between the two. And I just lost complete trust in her. And I was like, I cannot do this again here. This is not good. So actually, very, very sweetly, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. A nurse who was working at the clinic I was at used to work at another clinic. And she said, have you been looking around? And we said, yes, we're looking at these two clinics. And she said, I used to work there. Let me see what the waiting lists lie. So she introduced us. And so we've done our last three rounds at ARGC in Wimpole Street, which is, I think they've been brilliant. Like they're pretty amazing, but it's not a clinic that's for everybody. And I'm sure a lot of people would say that, just because it's quite intense. But yeah, so we're there now. But I'm glad we changed, and the confidence is definitely back in terms of being with the right people, which is good.
I think it's really important to get across that ability for you to change if you're not happy with any part of your treatment, if you're in a position to be able to change, especially if you're self-funding. I don't know how easy it is if you're doing it, you know, with the bit of funding that some people get. Is to be brave enough to do that, and I'm really pleased that you did. I'm interested as to what you mean by intense.
Whereas in the previous clinic, I used to go in like every couple of days for a blood test. I probably had two scans, three scans maybe, the whole time before collection. And at ARGC, you are in every day, every morning at about 7:30 for a blood test. And then in your first week, you're in every day for a blood test at 7:30. Then once you get towards the end of your first week and going into your second week of stimulation, you then have scans pretty much every day, if not every other day. Sometimes you have two blood tests in a day, and then sometimes two scans in a day.
Wow.
So it's full on, like it's a full-time job, hence why I quit mine. So it is full on. I mean, the next 2 weeks is the normal 2 week wait, you know, you have collection, you have transfer in it. There's no bean bags and candles and fluffiness. It's a bit like a deli counter, and it's busy. It's a busy clinic, so sometimes there's queuing, and yeah, it's not fluffy.
Right,
it's the way that I would describe it. They get results, so I'll go
well,
with
it. That's what you're on a mission to get. So, and let's talk about your decision to give up work, because you were working in TV. So I imagine a pretty high pressured, long hours, stressful job.
Yeah, and probably at the time, I mean, I knew it was stressful, but I think anyone who works in quite a fast-paced environment, whether that's TV or finance or whatever it is, you just ride it, you know, it's just adrenaline. But I didn't realise that I'd been living on adrenaline for probably the last 17, 18 years.
Right.
And yeah, it was long hours, and we'd kind of, you know, as we'd kind of gone through round by round, what else can we do this round? What else can we do this round? Right, more diet stuff, more lifestyle stuff, da da da, and it just came to me, it was just like, what else is there? You know, what do we then, you know, how much is spoken about stress and just relax.
We'll talk about that.
Don't relax yet. No, exactly. So we just thought, do you know what? It's my job. So I'm very, very lucky, and I have an amazing husband who just said, I just think you should give up work for a bit and let's just see what that does, or let's see what happens. And it's been 15 months now. Obviously I thought I'd give up work and we'd get pregnant in 3 months and I'd have a baby by the end of the year and maternity leave, and then I'd go back to work in like 2 years, but it's not quite how it's panning out. But it's honestly one of the best things I've ever done.
Good.
It's remarkably eye-opening and just so much perspective in terms of how, you know, I don't even know really how I lived my life before, like, or at that pace, you know, and working and seeing friends and going out and trying to just fit everything in and do treatment was just way, way too much. So yeah, it's been lovely, and I've managed to kind of focus on other things, which has been a real blessing, really.
I have to say, I was a bit jealous on your Instagram where you said you'd done a headstand in your yoga.
Oh, I've become a yogi. It's ridiculous. Like, I never, ever thought... I've always been really sporty, but, like, you know, real sport. I used to play hockey and, like, not till that recently, you know, and weights and da-da-da, like, real cardio-based stuff. And I kind of dismissed yoga for years. Loads of my friends do it. They all extol the benefits of it and think it's amazing. And I was like... And there's literally a yoga studio 2 minutes from my house, and it's lovely. And I've been going there for years, but I just thought, do you know what? I'm going to get properly into it and just really immerse myself in it. And now I absolutely love it. It's just great. It's so great.
What a blissful thing, though, regardless of what happens. And I hope that you get what you want, you know, with your treatment. But what a beautiful kind of way to spend your time without being too airy-fairy. I think it's a really, I mean, I try to practice as often as I can, and I do feel quite kind of privileged that I am able to practice, that I make the time to do it, because it, for anybody that does it, you'll get it, and if you don't, you might be like, yeah, whatever. But I think giving yourself that time to do something like yoga is very good for your peace of mind.
Definitely. And I think before, I probably didn't like it. I think I've made this connection. I think I probably didn't like it before because I don't think I had, it sounds a bit airy-fairy and a bit, but I don't think I had this headspace for it. I know that seems kind of...
You didn't have the time to slow down.
Yeah, like it's completely adverse to what yoga is, but you know, I couldn't just sit there and close my eyes and concentrate on my breath because I was like, right, I've got to shoot tomorrow. I've got 10 things that I've got to do and I've got to call that person. And I've, you know, like I couldn't switch off basically. Whereas now I don't have to worry about that stuff, and it's just amazing. It's brilliant.
So it sounds like headspace-wise, you're in a pretty good place. And I know that the only kind of negative in all of this is, as you admitted to me when we started talking, that that might mean a bit too much time is spent on social media. And that's kind of how we've connected. So I want to kind of move on to what's been going on. And this podcast is going out during National Infertility Awareness Week in the US. And whilst I appreciate this is a bit of a British story, I think it's really relevant to talk about it because what happened last week in the UK, because this podcast will have gone out on Monday at the start of the week in the States, is that a morning TV show asked for some people to answer questions about fertility treatments, and Keely, along with Kat, who you heard at the start of the episode, and another lady, Kate, who I'm going to put Kate's chat because we've spoken actually on this podcast. The three of them put themselves forward, and unbeknown, I suppose, to the producers, the three of them had discussed that they were going to talk because they wanted to put their questions there that would be useful. And I think what this exercise has proved is how national TV, wherever it's done, when talking about infertility, really needs to do its homework. So let's just talk a bit about your experience.
Yeah, so it all happened very, very quickly and very bizarrely, really. And I actually got a message from another lovely lady on Instagram saying, I can't do it. Would you be up for it? Was to go on and Skype in and ask a question to the resident doctor on this show. And I was a bit like, oh God, I'm just out of questions. Like, I don't know what to ask. But I eventually came up with some and I emailed the producer. And then I think Kat, trying years, put up a story saying, I'm doing this thing tomorrow. So I messaged her going, oh, you're doing it as well. Brilliant. What are you asking? Because it's stupid to ask the same questions, or let's try and get a breadth of questions. So there was a little bit of strategy behind it, but not too much.
I mean, we weren't kind of for the good of the people.
Yeah, and Kat and I kind of briefly spoke and just said, you know, we probably know more than him. And quite right, he's not a fertility expert. But let's ask some questions that can prompt something that maybe someone else might get something useful out of. Because to be honest, that's why I set up my kind of TTC Instagram account in the first place. I was like, well, if I'm going through this, for God's sake, let someone else benefit from it somehow. Because, you know, what's the point otherwise? Literally, I spoke to the producer at 11 o'clock the night before. And the next thing, it was like 7:45 in the morning and I'm testing my Skype connection with the studio. So yeah, I didn't actually speak to Kate the night before, but we, like, just before it, when I knew that it was Kate doing it, I was texting her going, good luck, you know, like, what's your question on? So she then told me as well. I was like, this is brilliant because we've got a complete range. And we didn't know if all three of us would get on or one of us would or whatever. Her question was a really good one, in my opinion. Are there any long-term effects of taking IVF medication? So for my future health, basically. She was like, I've been on this journey for 5 years because obviously she already has Austin through a previous IVF treatment. So she's been on and off IVF drug for 5 years, and me as well, pretty much. Are there any long-term ramifications? And, you know, I don't think his response to that was particularly great either. His answer was basically, no, there are no long-term ramifications of taking the medication. You know, you're basically, you're kind of overstimulating hormones. So it's just, you're just pumping hormones and your body then goes back into normal, regular cycles and da-da-da. And I was just like, it's not just hormones that you're injecting. You know, it was kind of the detail of what he was saying, which, you know, I think we all know that there is such a huge variety of drugs that people take that aren't just the stimulation drugs, that, you know, just in general, other conditions do have some sort of long, it might not happen to you, but the possibility or the risk is always, they are there. I've been on steroids, I've been on weird drugs that you wouldn't even think you took for IVF, a drug that's supposed to be for arthritis, but you just take it because the consultant tells you to take it, so you'll do anything to do it. But so I don't think his answer was necessarily clear or correct. I mean, the question that I asked was about nutrition and how important, you know, I said I know that it's very important, but how important does he think it is with regards to fertility? And actually, to be fair to him, the answer that he gave was pretty valid. You know, check your lifestyle, remove caffeine, remove alcohol, remove stuff that's not good for you, refined sugar, kind of the common sense stuff, but then also, you know, make sure that you're checking your immune system and your thyroid function and talk to someone about supplements, but make sure you get the right guidance. So it was quite valid what he said to me. If someone else who hasn't started any of this process yet, but is maybe on the brink, then actually that would be quite useful thing to know, because you don't always get told these things at the beginning of the process. I certainly didn't, as much as I know now.
I think what's really interesting is what you've said is that initial venturing into this, and we're talking about a morning TV show that wasn't an in-depth program about fertility treatments, and what it's highlighted is that this information needs to be considered before it's presented, because there's not really a straightforward answer. And what you guys have highlighted is how much knowledge there is from those going through it that needs to be listened to when these kind of conversations are happening too. And you were then part of the kind of Instagram aftermath that happened. And if you're on social media, especially on Instagram, I'm sure wherever you are listening to this podcast, you'll probably have seen something, especially with this hashtag Relaxgate, which we started to talk about at the beginning of this podcast. Because along with Kat, as she mentioned in her bit before, she was given the advice to relax, which anybody that's going through treatment, that's been through treatment, it's easier said than done, for want of a better cliche. The kind of comments that you've seen, do you feel now that there's another like resurgence of empowerment with people speaking up about this? Because Instagram's a big TTC community. It's really supportive. It's also very open, but it's still not mainstream. It's a community. Do you think that this is going to encourage more people to be brave? Because that's ultimately what we need to do, is like, you guys went on national TV to be brave. You didn't think much of it because you've been going through this, but it's still a really brave thing to do. So, you know, you made yourself pretty vulnerable doing it. Do you think that maybe that message will start to penetrate through to people to just go for it and to get the word out there more?
I really hope so. I mean, I think, and Kat's been saying this the last couple of days on Instagram, and I would say it as well, is the response was pretty amazing. Like, I joked to Kat that it's like the best non-intentional guerrilla marketing strategy you could possibly have thought up. You know, for him to get it so wrong and for them to be that reaction was just brilliant. Like, obviously it wasn't brilliant for Kat at the time, having to sit there and be on national TV while he was saying this and hold it together, but she's a good strong lady, so she did. And it is hard, because not everyone, I think the Insta community, as you said, is so supportive and so brilliant and so open, but as you say, it's not mainstream. And I think actually quite a lot of people on that community are very private in a lot of ways. You know, there are some people that are very open in terms of how many people know, who they tell and who they don't tell. So I think within the community, it was definitely a really strong reaction and really consistent message across everything. It was just like, how do you get that? Like, that is, as I said on Stories Yesterday, like, that is room 101 of answers to say to anybody going through this. It's just the worst thing you can say is just relax, forget about it, carry on living your life. I think what's important is that actually there's been some interaction from outside of that community. And as you say, like, there was a couple of articles yesterday that people had posted. I think there was one in Woman and Home that picked it up. And I think if you can start to get people from outside the community kind of looking into it a bit more, then that's really powerful. And hopefully people have the confidence to say something. And then it's not for everybody, and I really respect that, and that's not their bag. But it's just, I think it could be really powerful. There were people that I am friends with on Instagram who are in America, and they picked up on it because we were talking about it, and then they put it on their kind of social media, and they got reactions from it from their sort of side of the pond, you know, of where this, you know, where this is going to go out in terms of National Fertility Awareness Week in America. And that's brilliant. It's great. My sister-in-law's aunt texted her going, Keely's on the rain. What's going on? You know, like, it's just that awareness. And I think it's brilliant. And a bit of, you know, as hard as it is to hear those things, a bit of controversy is never a bad thing. It sparks debate, and it makes people sit up and take a bit of notice that he messed up.
Well, without you guys probably even realising, the hashtag for the National Infertility Awareness Week and Resolve is Flip the Script. And they want to focus this week on changing the conversation around infertility, so the public, media, insurers, healthcare professionals and lawmakers understand, as they say, the scope of the problem and who is struggling to build a family, in that it's not just older women who wait too long, that there are many barriers for millions of people, from especially in the US, this applies, the lack of insurance coverage, the costs, things that affect people from their kind of religious beliefs, their sexual orientation, and then the impact of infertility and how far-reaching it is. You've talked about giving up work, the impact it has on your friendships, all sorts of different things. And this kind of conversation that's actually happened is kind of covering all of those boxes, which is brilliant.
Yeah, it is brilliant. It is brilliant. And yeah, I don't think, well, as you said, going into it, none of us thought that the reaction would be, or that this would be the outcome of all of it. It was just, let's go on and raise some awareness, ask some questions we know we already know the answers to, but that's cool, you know, that's fine. And it's just, opening conversation is brilliant. And sometimes it's uncomfortable, and sometimes people don't feel comfortable talking about things, but they're often the things, the times when the best work gets done, or, you know, the best things materialise. So hope
you've done a good thing. Well, look, best of luck with the next part of your treatment, and thank you for talking through your experiences over the last few days. And I'll put all the links to your social media in the show notes, because I think it's really interesting for people listening if they want to go and have a look at some of the conversations, because there's different blog posts, as you've said, just to kind of bring you up to speed if you've just heard this. And I think especially with it being a focus week in America, and I know in Canada there's big shows going on, lots going on, as we say, in honour of the IVF Babble Ladies, that hashtag IVF Stronger Together, because ultimately we are, and the more that we can all talk about it. And if there's one person that hears this and feels less alone, or reads an Instagram post, or stumbles across a hashtag, then, you know, that is all part of this mission, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you have a lovely day, and good luck with those headstands. I might have to get some tips, because I'm rubbish at the headstands.
Oh, believe me, they're not pretty.
It's a start. It's a start. Keely, it's been lovely chatting. You take care.
Thanks so much, Natalie.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So I'm now going to welcome Tonky Dad to the podcast. That's his social media name, and I'll put all the links again in the show notes, because Tonky Dad's also been commenting on Relaxgate, which is what this episode's about. And I just wanted to get the male perspective. As you know, if you listen to this podcast, I want to give male voice as much airtime as possible to encourage other guys to speak up. And it's always good to hear both sides of the story of how we're all feeling. So Tonky Dad, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Not a problem.
Do you want to just start with where you and your other half are at on your TTC journey for me?
Of course. We have been trying to conceive now for quite a while. I'd say probably just over 2 years. We discovered we had fertility problems around 18 months-ish ago. The problems are myself, as you'll have seen in the Twitter comment that I made, although I've got a decent sperm count, I've got very low rate of morphology. So the shapes of the sperms are actually, well, not particularly good. They've got two tails and all kinds of weird things. My partner also has polycystic ovaries and very irregular cycles, which means that the chances of conceiving naturally are pretty low. We've got a few challenges. So in terms of where we are on the journey, we've had one round of ICSI so far, which resulted in initially one fresh transfer. We've subsequently had two frozen transfers, none of which have succeeded, and we are currently starting to prepare for our last frozen transfer.
All right. So just on that male factor side, how do you feel you were supported? Were you given some advice of any lifestyle changes you could do, or any other information of supplements and stuff you could take?
We received some good advice from our GP, and then once we went through the clinic itself. So yeah, I was given advice on a number of supplements that I could take. I think I ended up on the Wellman Conception tablets, which, to be honest, it's when you get to issues with morphology, they do say there's not a great deal you can do to improve it. So although you can improve other factors of the semen quality, etc., there's the obvious things, cutting out smoking, cutting down on booze, etc. It is largely irrelevant how you kind of your lifestyle choices that you make. It is just what it is. That's the kind of message that I was given.
Right. And it's that you ultimately are going to need assisted conception help to make it happen.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So in light of what we're talking about with Relaxgate, were you watching the show live or did you see the aftermath on social media?
We knew it was coming up, so we set it to record and we watched it together when we got home from work that evening. Although my other half had seen a number of posts on Instagram, etc., and the Relaxgate hashtag trending. So we were aware of a bit of backlash. And so we sat down after work together to watch it. And I thought some of it, up until the last couple of sentences, was reasonable. It's stuff that the people that were participants, they'll have heard it all before. But it was relatively good advice. It was just the last few sentences were just ridiculous. that was how we both felt about it. It was just absolutely ridiculous.
In essence, telling Kat to relax.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So this is a lady who, I can't remember her exact circumstances, but I believe there have been multiple rounds of IVF and she's unfortunately had miscarriages, etc., which I'm incredibly sorry to hear about. For any Tom, Dick or Harry, there's obviously an underlying issue there. If somebody has needed to go through IVF in the first place and then to subsequently have miscarriages is heartbreaking. So for a medical professional to say, just relax and it'll happen naturally is absolutely, it's ridiculous.
And you voiced that to Dr. Hillary, who is the medical professional that we're talking about, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, I certainly did. I don't know whether he reads any of his social media.
What did you say?
I think pretty much just what I've outlined to you. So I outlined the fact that in our own scenario, you know, I've got a very, very bad morphology rate. My partner has issues as well. Us relaxing isn't going to make a jot of difference. I mean, it's very nice to relax, don't get me wrong, but in terms of our ability to conceive, relaxing isn't going to do anything. And to be told that all you have to do is relax and it'll happen naturally, it puts the onus on the individual. It makes you feel as if you're doing something wrong and that you are the reason that you haven't been able to conceive, and if you just relax a bit, then perhaps you will. I mean, don't get me wrong, I know that my body is the main reason we're unable to conceive, but it makes it seem more like it's almost your choice, like you've got a choice in the matter.
Yeah. What would you like to happen now as far as the kind of information that's shared in a like national media way, because we're talking in National Infertility Awareness Week, and especially in the States, as I've already mentioned on this podcast, there's this hashtag of flipping the script and getting the media and other like outlets to talk more realistically about the issues that we go through. Do you think, from your experience and maybe from people that you speak to day to day, I don't know whether you're that open about this to your family and friends, do you think that being really blatant with the facts will help other people understand exactly what this means, this infertility label?
Yeah, I think it would. I think with a lot of health issues, there's a lot of wishy-washy, nicey, dancing around the edges of what the issue actually is. But I think something like fertility, you've got to really set it out in stone. Sorry, we haven't been particularly open with friends or family. We've only told a very small subset of people. But even for those people, to try and make them understand where we are, to make them understand the journey and the issues, it has taken some incredibly blunt conversations. And it has helped somewhat. But I think, to be honest, if you haven't been in this situation yourself, I don't think you can get it truly. So, but the blunt conversations will definitely help.
And can you see them happening on national telly?
No, to be honest, I think it's almost a little bit too icky for the mainstream. And I think that's the stumbling point here. It's not a nice process, isn't IVF? And I guess it's probably not the kind of thing that would sell to the mainstream media. I certainly hope it will. Don't get me wrong, I certainly do hope it will, but I think that the appetite for publishers to put it out there possibly isn't what it should be.
Thank goodness for social media, hey? You can get it there, can't we? And for
exactly.
Podcasts.
Yay, yes, yes.
Podcasts. Well, look, I really appreciate you giving me your time. And are you at a point where you're having a bit of time out with treatment? Are you happy to say where you're at with what you might be doing next?
Yeah, absolutely. We have taken a little bit of time out, not really planned. It's been kind of just the way the stars have aligned. But we are currently waiting to start another medicated frozen cycle. So hopefully that'll be starting in just over a month. So yeah, we've got one frozen embryo left, so fingers crossed that will that'll work for us this time. And if not, because of where we live, we only get one cycle on the NHS, so it'll be time to dig deep after that.
As far as any advice you'd give to any guys, you've talked really openly, thank you, about it being a male factor issue and something that you'd probably never imagined, you know, would be a problem. What would you say to guys? I mean, it's quite devastating. I mean, we had ICSI and my other half, you know, really struggled with that information from a pride, male pride point of view and not being able to fix it. You know, you've talked about obviously trying to make some changes, but you've been told ultimately you can't really. How do you feel with it? And what advice would you say to any guys that might have just found out that that's what they've got to kind of get their head around as well?
I would say keep your chin up as much as you can. I know it is incredibly difficult. It can be a kind of kick in the pride. But at the end of the day, it isn't your fault. It's a situation that you've inherited. You've got this situation. You have to deal with it as best you can, but it is not your fault. This isn't down to anything that you've done wrong. So just keep your head up and do what has to be done.
Wise words. Well, best of luck with what happens next. And I do appreciate your chat and keep up with the old social media because it's all good, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So three different viewpoints on something that happened in the UK media in April 2018. If you've been affected in any way by this, if where you are, there's been some stuff in the media that's been misrepresentative of how you feel and you want to speak out more about it, you can, of course, get in touch with me, share your story. Just email me, natalie@thefertilitypodcast.com. And all the links to the people that you've heard me speak to, as well as other blog posts, as well as how you can find out about the Ultimate Fertility Guide, are in the show notes for this episode, which are thefertilitypodcast.com/relax. Gate. It had to be, didn't it? Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. And until the next time.